Hi everyone, this is Tim. This is part of the Bootle and Beyond series, and we're just trying to find out about people who live in Bootle. So I've got Mike Brennan on, who has been on one podcast I've done in the past to do with the Bootle Action Group. Mike probably might not like me saying this, but he's quite a community champion and he puts a lot of time into things around Bootle, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So first of all, Mike, I've got the same list of questions I'm going to be asking everyone who comes on these kind of things. So how are you today?
Good, thank you. Yeah. No, I'm fine, thanks. Yeah. I was better before you asked me to do this. I hate doing this kind of thing, but go on, I'll ride with
Good, and it's good that you've come
it.
on as well. So well done for coming on. I know it's a bit weird sometimes. Between 1 and 10, 1 being amazing, how are things going for you at the moment, generally?
Probably about between a 4 and a 5. Just because, as everyone does. Things going on in our lives that probably, could be better. But I think with the weather improving the last couple of weeks or so, it's given me, I've got a spring in my step, so to speak. If you'd asked me this question a couple of months ago, I'd have been much lower. But I do think the weather helps. So, yeah.
I think I'm quite seasonally affected. I have one of them sad lamps I use in the winter. Someone told me about vitamin D that between October to March, if you have vitamin D, it improves your mood. So I've been taking that for the last few months. But do you want to talk about some of the stuff that's been going on, or you don't have to if you don't want to?
No, it's just personal stuff. Like it's nothing major. It's just,
Just life stuff.
just life. Yeah, it's
No worries. So how long have you lived here in Bootle?
nearly 46 years.
So you were
Getting the age up.
born a couple of years after
Well,
me, I think.
was I?
I was born in 77. I've lived in Bootle all my life, apart from I lived in South Liverpool for 4 years. I lived away at uni for three, and I lived in Formby for three. But consider myself someone from Bootle, kind of like dad in the middle.
Well, I've lived here all my life, apart from when I sold my the house that I bought by myself. At the time, me and Kim were getting married. And because it was my house, we wanted the house together. So I sold it, but it sold very quickly. Kim was living with her mum and dad at the time. So I had nowhere to go, really. Only because I had all this stuff with me. I couldn't just move in with family or friends, whatever. I spent 6 months in Old Swan in a friend's flat, and he had loads of room to store all my stuff. So other than that, yeah, I've been here all my life.
Bootle born and bred.
I absolutely hated living in Old
Yeah, it's good to be back. I mean, I think like Bootle, like anywhere, there's the different Bootle's quite big, and there's different areas, there's different sections of Bootle that have got like environmental issues, and it's generally considered a poor area. And I remember looking into the history of it. I think like people in Liverpool used to consider Bootle a bit of a rougher part of the area. When there used to be a space between it. I know it's all a bit conurbation now, linking into it. But I believe Bootle used to have a beach as well, before the docks were all built, which was so important during World War II, keeping the country going. But the docks used to be like a beach in Bootle. And obviously, you need to go to Seaforth now before you see any beach. But and apparently, the strands, the water used to come right up to the strand. That's why it's called the strand, like a strand of beach, which I didn't know. But yeah, I mean, I think Bootle, I still, I went to Savio High School. I don't know what school you went to, but it was interesting that, like, it keeps coming up, anniversaries and people putting pictures up from school. I'm thinking, I started that school in 1988, and the decades just disappear into the distance. What school did you go to?
The same.
Oh, you went to Savio, yeah?
When did you start?
I started in 88. Did you start in 90 or?
So you, our paths may have crossed.
I thought you looked familiar.
you might have been the one putting my head down the toilet somewhere. But
Yeah,
that's weird, that isn't it? Small
it
world.
is indeed a small world. So, what are you looking for in life? What do you want in life then? This can be as philosophical as or practical as you want.
Well, probably all my attention's focused on my four children. So,
Yeah.
not necessarily what I want, but what I want for them, and looking out for their future. My oldest son is now 14 and is going to be taking his GCSE soon. So, I just want to ensure that they have everything that he needs and they need to get on well in life.
How old's your youngest child?
You put me on the spot now, aren't you? No,
Roughly.
she's eight.
So 14 to 8, 4 kids. That's that's demanding. I've got one son who's 5, and I think that obviously having kids, it just completely changes your perspective, doesn't it? And I remember a friend of mine saying when his kids came along, he said, "Oh, it's not about me now." And it's amazing how much fulfillment you get by doing things for them. So like me lad, like I take him to sports Saturday and Sunday morning, and I like get involved in the sport, and I just enjoy, really enjoy doing things for him. Like before you have kids, you think, oh God, how do these people cope? But the enjoyment you get from doing things with them and helping them, it does give life a lot more meaning, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it's a tough world at the minute, isn't it? And every time you turn on the TV and the news is on, it's all doom and gloom. And so if you can just make, life for them a bit easier, I think in the long run.
Yeah, I think that's important, particularly like when you what you were saying before about like buying a house and that, like the cost of living, rent, mortgages, it's a lot harder for young people than say it was when I bought my first house. I mean, I think back to like my first mortgage and how much it was and what the monthly payments were. The cost of food, cost of living, energy, it's it is tough times, isn't it? Sorry about the alarm in the background. Don't know if you
Can't
can
hear it.
hear
I mean,
it.
I wouldn't want to be their age now, to be honest.
No, no.
I do like hate getting older, but then I think actually, I don't know, things just seem better. But whether that's just, I don't know, everyone could say that, couldn't they? Because you,
Yeah.
when probably because when you're younger, you haven't got all those worries anyway, have you? So it's,
No,
it's.
no. Yeah, it's interesting
But
as well with that. Like, I don't know what your spin is on mobile phones and social media and stuff. I know that you have to like go on social media with Brutal Action Group, which we'll talk about in a minute, and like moderate it and all that. But what are your views on like kids and mobile phones and stuff? Everyone's talking about this adolescence at the moment, this series. I haven't watched it, where there's a lad who, watches stuff on the internet and is accused of murder and stuff. But have you got like a particular spin on mobile phones and kids or whatever?
I mean, Stephen has got one, but he uses it just purely for us, having a method of contact with them. I don't know, kids these days, they are just on, the internet or whatever too much, aren't they? I mean, it's just the way of life, the way it's gone. When I think about when we were growing up, the street was rammed with kids, but you just don't see that anymore, do you? This street that we live in, you never see any kids playing out ever.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Like, because I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Because I think about like when I used to be out when I was a kid, like I was a decent kid. Like, don't get me wrong, but like things used to see things and things that happen, and like you think, is it better kids don't see that these days? But then,
I
mobile
think
phones, what's all that about? Is that keeping the busy in a positive way or a negative way? It's hard, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I would like to hope that we're bringing them up respectfully, and they know right from wrong and whatever. We do now and then do checks to see what they've been up to, and there's nothing, untoward. So, yeah, but it's also about keeping them safe, isn't it? Because you don't know who's talking to them. And
I think it's just, I don't think you can stop it. And in many ways, you might not want to stop it, but it's about like, just trying to be as sensible as possible. I know like schools are doing a lot now with like mobile phones, either banning them or managing them, or you can do family safety reports where it just comes up like what people have been going on, within on the family's devices and stuff, just so you know things aren't like happening that shouldn't be. But I think like if you speak to your kid and say, listen, if ever like someone's trying to talk to you online, come and see us, that kind of stuff, it's an ongoing issue, isn't it?
They do tell us. I mean, I know probably some parents aren't bothered, are they? But what can you do?
It does keep them busy and occupied as well, but it's just about finding that balance, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like, during the 6 weeks holiday and stuff, kids
Oh,
are
I'm
like,
giving them stuff. I'm like, yeah, take that computer, take that phone, but just, get away
no,
from me.
it's tough in those longer periods, isn't it? And,
Yeah.
yeah, good stuff. Any issues or concerns of worry to you? Again, this could be in your life locally. You can talk about bag if you want, or internationally. I've actually, what you said about the news before, I've stopped watching the news with
Yeah.
actual footage on now, because I think that it's just far more disturbing than it used to be.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to look at some of the people who are featured regularly on the news. And I just kind of like read about it now and listen to podcasts, because I just feel like I need to protect my mind or whatever. But any issues or concerns that are worrying you globally or locally?
I am naturally a worrier, and this is
Yeah.
why I don't like think when I think back years ago, politics didn't interest me or world issues, but now I'm just seem so focused on it, but it's depressing,
Yeah.
that, and that's the thing, isn't it? But you can't really get away from it. The minute if I'm on my phone and I open like my emails, it's all like the latest news, and it's just depressing.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I think again, I'm just conscious about my kids and their futures and how the world is currently, and it just doesn't feel like a nice place, does it, at the minute? And I don't know, is it going to get better? Don't know.
Yeah. I think obviously we've seen in the last 15 odd years, like, living standards in this country, it's harder to manage. And I think that that causes anxieties. And, you've got the ongoing things with, like, I don't know, global warming, populism globally, and all that. But I've actually left a lot of social media political groups, and I'm
Yeah.
strict to speak to now as well. There are certain people I think, I don't think it's worth engaging with that person,
Yeah.
because you've got to watch your own mind and stuff. But
Yeah.
I had a good quote once, like, it's important to be informed but not inundated, and emotionally triggered and being smart. And I think that's probably good advice.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is difficult, I think, knowing, what to look at and what not to look at, and how much is too much. It's about finding that balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about Bootle Action Group then? Now, you've done a podcast before with me, talking about Bootle Action Group, which is in that's been released a few months ago.
Yeah.
But basically, Bootle Action Group is a group that seeks to improve the local environment in Bootle. Do you want to tell us about that issue and why that's important to you? I think you said on the previous podcast we've done that you've always been very community minded,
Yeah.
and that's kind of inspired. But do you want to tell us a little bit about Bootle Action Group?
Yeah, so in a nutshell, so to speak, it was set up in 2016, and again going back to social media, I was on Facebook at that time. I was reluctant to join it for years, but I did. A lot of complaining about litter, and it was constant, and it was all I was seeing, and moaning about litter, moaning about fly tipping, and I thought, oh right, I'm going to do something. I'm going to get out there and start a litter picking group, and that's kind of where it evolved from, really. Bag's motto is, we want to create a cleaner. Well, it's probably a slogan more than a motto, but a cleaner, greener, brighter Bootle. Because who wouldn't want that? Who wants to see streets filled with rubbish and weeds and fly tipping? It's just depressing, and it's not good for your mental health, is it? So that's kind of why it was set up, really. But we link in with other groups who have got like similar aims to us as well, where we can. So there's taken root in Bootle, and we're part of that in some respects. When they do their Northwest in Bloom, we're part of that.
Yeah. Now, you've worked with, like, I think you've worked with, like, some local companies as well, haven't you, with funding? And are you a CIC or a charity?
Yeah, so the group was very informal when it started off, and it was meant to just be once a month litter picking. I didn't want it to go any bigger because I was got work, family life, but it kind of just grew. And our friends down at Safe Regeneration, Jane and Brian, they said, why didn't you become a CIC? Well, I didn't have a clue what that was at the time. And they said, it opened you up to avenues of funding, basically. So yeah, they helped me turn the group into a CIC, which it is much better. We don't go for the big pots of funding purely because we don't have any paid staff. A lot of, local organisations and charities, they have two, three members of staff and deal with all this stuff. But I'm just an unpaid volunteer, so I prefer to go for the smaller pots of funding. And also the applications for them aren't as intense.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
I think I'd say we're more about quick wins and what we do in the community. And so we want quick pots of funding.
Yeah. So a CIC is a community interest company. So it's kind of below a charity, but you can bid for funding. It's a not-for-profit thing with directors and stuff. So.
The only downside to being that is, HMRC look on us as a company, and we're not. So they don't look at the community and they don't look at the interest. They just look at the company and they tax us. So whatever money we have in our account at the end of the financial year, they will tax, which is wrong. And we've spoken to them about it, and they wouldn't back down. So we have to make sure every year that we kind of use up most of our money. Because we don't want to go into the tax man, we want to come into Bootle, so.
No, that's important to know about those things. There's always restrictions on what you can do and what you're liable for with CICs and any organization. But there's a Facebook group for Bootle Action Group. Now, I'll share the details in the notes, but basically, a lot of people put comments on and say there's been some fly tipping here. Look at this area here. Look at this area here. Now, when I see your posts, you put stuff up and say, oh, we've been down here today. And it seems to me that there's a lot of people, yourself included, who are putting in quite a lot of unpaid work to make our immediate environment look better. And, it's that difficult. I mean, you've got four children, you've got your own, your employments and stuff, and your unpaid job that you have to do for your family, etc. How difficult is it to manage all that?
It's just fitting in, slotting it in whenever you can. But all we're always making sure that the family come first. So when we do it, we tend to do weekends, or now that the lighter nights are coming, we usually do a Thursday evening, go out volunteering. So it doesn't really impact on anything that way. But it's just making sure that you're planning ahead and just putting your family first. When you're volunteering, it shouldn't, be tedious or, stressful.
That's it. And you want to do it. You've got that kind of like ideal of what you want to achieve. But some of the work you've done is phenomenal. And sometimes it must feel like it's a drop in the ocean. And there is fly tip and people do have problems with stuff in the house. Yeah. In my family, we've always had a car. We can go down to the tip. I know not everyone can do that. Now, the council, you've got a bit of a, I wouldn't say a love-hate relationship with the council, but you are willing to work with the council, but it's not always as simple as that, is it? Trying to move forward positively together. Do you want to comment about that?
Not so much in terms of Bootle Action Group, but we're now part of the South Sefton Community Alliance, which is a collective of local groups in South Sefton who are trying to have better relationships with the council and trying to work with them to look at these issues that are around us. And not necessarily just the council, it's other organisations such as Highways England. These organisations, they drag the heels a lot of the time, don't they? And it's just trying to form better working relationships, and as a collective of groups, we're stronger in number.
It's difficult though. It must be. I mean, I know councillors have had a lot of cuts, but I've had this myself. Like, they don't always like sharing power or saying, oh, yeah, we're happy to let you do that. And it's a difficult one because they might say, oh, we're responsible for that and we can't really just allow others to do it without us having any input. And you get all that stuff going on. And councillors, a lot of them are working in their own jobs as well outside being a councillor. But the issue isn't going away. And when you find out
No.
that the response to, say, fly tipping is costing more than maybe interventionist measures would be early on. And we talked about this in the other podcast, but it's an ongoing debate and an ongoing frustration, isn't it, when you feel like you can't really make that progress. And I think that bureaucracy, it can be frustrating, can't it? But it's certainly tremendous work you're doing, because in poorer areas like Bootle, I've noticed it myself, and I think I wrote an article. I know you commented on it. Like, my lad sometimes says, like, why is all this rubbish on the floor, on the street? And I think you kind of become immune to it to a degree because you have to. But as you get older, I look at it and go, like, this is our own lived environment. What are we saying when a number of people maybe fly tip and for business reasons or kids throwing
Yeah.
stuff on the floor, or like I saw a kid the other day throw something on the floor outside the shop, and I'm thinking, you're doing that in front of people, you know what I mean? And do you think, again, I know we've discussed this, you make sure your own kids aren't doing that first and foremost, and that you're not, but it is frustrating, isn't it? And I think the
Yeah.
work you're doing is great. Sorry, I've gone on a bit there. Have you got anything that you want to say about those issues?
I just feel like, I don't know, as a community, we probably do need to work better more. I mean, the ongoing issue with fly tipping by King's Gardens, which is just at the front of South Park, a front and Stanley Road, that's never ending, and I don't understand why it's persistent and nothing's being done about it. I mean, it just looks awful. You know, you drive up Stanley Road now from the Three Banks up to the boundary with Kirkdale, Liverpool, and it's just grim. But this is what people are seeing it. It's a main commuter road, and I don't know. I mean, I get that it's not the council's fault in the sense that, yeah, they're not doing it, they're not putting the rubbish there, but they don't seem to be doing much about it. And yet they're coming and clearing it, but it's not really, to me, that's just educating people to say, well, yeah, put it there and we'll come and collect it, and then put it there the next day and we'll come and collect it. It's the taxpayer that's paying for that, and I loathe my council tax paying to clear that fly tipping. I would rather my money went on something better, like providing better youth services or looking after more vulnerable people within Sefton. You know, I appreciate that there are different reasons why people fly tip. This is where it goes down to the lack of communication. Have the council looked at, well, it's going to cost this amount of money if we say, like, do designated spots where people can put stuff to be taken away, or provide more skips. You know, what's going to be the financial implications of that? Is it going to be less than what it's costing them to clear it? We don't know because we're never told. But I mean, I think the other issue that we've got with that is, you know, they couldn't just make it free for Bootle because, you know, we're part of Sefton. So if I lived in Southport, I would say, well, why are you asking me to pay to have my items removed? But Swan and Bootle doesn't. So there's quite a few barriers, isn't there? And things.
I mean, it's certainly great work that you're doing at Bootle Action Group, and well done for all your efforts. And we'll share the Facebook group. People share pictures and talk about strategy, don't they? And I know that you moderate the group to try to keep it as positive and as factual as possible as well, because you always get like a bit of commentary on there, which isn't always the most helpful. Thanks for coming on
Well,
today anyway, Mike, and keep up the good work. And as well as being someone who's lived in Bootle all your life, you're going out into the community to change it. And I think that deserves a lot of acknowledgement and credit. So thanks for what you do.
thank you.
Cheers.